word. Lord, we do thank you. We love you and we bless you, Lord. Thank you for putting laughter in our soul and joy in our heart. God, thank you for reminding us daily, Lord, how much you love us, how much you care for us, how you are chasing us, how new mercies greeted us this morning. And then we thank you for your word, Lord, how we don't have to guess on how to live and how to give and how to forgive and how to love. We don't have to guess, Lord, it's plain in your word. Speak to our hearts now. We open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Holy Spirit, give us a fresh filling of your spirit, your power, your strength. Lord, let us hear, let us discern, give us wisdom, give us strength to live this. We don't just want information, Lord, and we thank you for the revelation, God, but we need transformation today. Let us live a transformed life based upon your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, because we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the word. And to those that believe, all things are possible. That's the word. We can live right according to your word. And we thank you. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It illuminates the way. So we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, dying, broken, dead, and decaying world. God, we need you today more than we did yesterday. Make your word plain. Holy Spirit, teach your people, guide your people. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, family, we have gone through three of the I am statements. Well, we've gone through two, and we're in number three. We've gone over the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the only way. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He is the bread of life. He sacrificed his body, shed his blood so we could be saved. Then he said he's the light of the world and passed the baton to us, told us we're the light of the world. In him is no darkness at all. He changed the game by being the light of the world. Many great men, many great women have been on this earth. None claim to be the light of the world. Jesus Christ not only claimed it, but he did it. So as we are in John, did I say which verse of John? John 10? Okay, so look at, leave one there, Dominique, and then just look in your Bibles. Look at number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily I guarantee you, he said unto them, I am the door of the sheep. He's the opportunity for the sheep to be saved. Then when we go to 10:1, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if anyone enters not by the door, if anyone doesn't enter through Christ into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief or a robber. He's talking about false prophets. And we have to come in the name of Christ with the word of Christ. Otherwise, it is a false prophet. And family, we have to discern what's real and what's counterfeit. You have to be in the word. You have to be at a Bible teaching church. You have to fellowship with like-minded believers who are teaching the word, who are studying the word, and helping you to grow in the word. Amen? Amen. So then that took us to Acts chapter 20. And that's where it got really interesting for me. So let's go to Acts chapter 20 and 28. Paul is leaving Ephesus. Physically, he's leaving. He knows it's going to be his last time seeing that church. Wow. And I mentioned just a little bit last week that for those of us that went to Ephesus, which is in Turkey, and we saw the place of the church, here's Paul, and the folks are really, really attached to Paul, amen? As you all would know, it's a special bond between your pastor and the congregation, especially when you have a pastor that really loves and is trying to push us all into the presence of Christ. So it's an attachment there. But then here's Paul said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers or made you leaders. Underline that the Holy Ghost has made you a leader within the church. That's all of us. to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased, underlined purchased, with his own blood, which he has bought, which he has acquired. Verse 29, for I know this. This is what Paul knows, that after my departing shall savage wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the sheep. So Paul is saying, take us back to verse 28, Dominique. All right, let me give you what I wrote down, what God was giving me. 28, Dominique. I want you to underline the Holy Spirit. You can't be a good shepherd if you're not led by and guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Whether you're shepherding the people in your job, in your home, under your business, you cannot be a good shepherd if you're not led by the Holy Spirit of God. Ask the Holy Spirit and beg for God's wisdom. Ask and beg the Holy Spirit for God's wisdom. Family, we've underestimated our supernatural power that we have access to, which is the Holy Spirit. We're out here trying to do things on our own, and God's given us the Holy Spirit. And it's the one that leads, guides, and directs us. And we don't even tap into it and ask it for anything. Here's another revelation that God gave me. The Holy Spirit is the part of the inheritance that we get to benefit from now. Let me say that we have an inheritance with Christ. The Holy Spirit is the part that we get to benefit from now. And I'm going to show you in the Word, we get to benefit from that, but we don't even use it. It's like having access to a bank account and you walking around broke. A bank account that's full and you walk around talking about, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got all these bills to pay. And you got access, but you refuse to use it. It's the part of the inheritance that we get now. It's the deposit. The other half is cashed in when we transition. I'm going to show you in the Word. I can't wait. Amen. The knowledge and use of the listening to and speaking to and following of the Holy Spirit is the game changer. I know that's a lot. Let me say it again. Because you could know something and not use it, right? Just like I said, you could have a bank account. I know I got it there. I just don't want to use it. I'm saving that money. But you need it. I know. I'm just going to save it. Okay. So you can have the knowledge of, it's the knowledge, it's the use, it's the listening, speaking, and following of the Holy Spirit that changes the game. Not only do I know it, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to speak to it. I'm going to follow it. And that changes the game of my life. You can't just know it. You have to tap into it. We've underestimated the significance of the power of the Holy Spirit. We walk around with a godly power source and never use it. Because either we don't believe or we don't trust God. And then, you know, that's a whole nother message I've been preaching on. We don't tap into it because I don't believe it and I don't trust God. Somebody need to hear this morning. We don't have to live as a scary, confused, worried, and defeated disciple. You and I, we don't have to live as a scary, confused, worried, and defeated disciple. Some of us walking around scary, confused, worried about everything, and call ourselves a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. Why? Because we haven't tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what it's not. It's not jumping around, spitting, slobbering on the floor, running and shaking. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's what it's not. It's demonstrated through the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the humility, the faith, and the self-control. I don't care how much you know the word, show me some self-control, show me some humility, show me some love, show me some kindness. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Make a note, we are on assignment from the Holy Ghost. We're on assignment. The Holy Spirit has made us overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his blood. He's bought it. He's bought you and I. We are on assignment from the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts, to keep your mouth closed, to think before I act or speak or not? And it has when. I mean, folks, this is the word. This is how you live this thing. Okay, I'm gonna read this and we're gonna get into the word, right? It says, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to lead and love and not only receive, but also to give, not only to exist, but how to live. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit, it teaches us not only how to lead and to love, and it's okay to receive, but it also teaches us how to give. It allows us not to exist, but to actually live. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, let me make it as plain as I can. Dominique, take us to John 14. And 22. Turn to John 14, 22. I've written down, we have to take advantage of the power we have in the Holy Spirit and stop underestimating the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God and Jesus living inside of you and me. Oh my gosh. We have that type of power. Is that what the scriptures say, Pastor? Well, let's read it. John, that's a 14 and 22. This is Judas. Judas said unto him, this is not Judas Iscariot, this is the other Judas. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? God, how can you manifest? How can you be inside everybody? How are you going to do that? Right? And then not only that, it's only going to be certain ones that God comes and lives inside of and not the world. Dude, I mean, that's a good question. Hey, it's not possible. It's not humanly possible for you to manifest yourself for everybody. Verse 20, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man, which that's generic, if mankind loves me, if a man or woman love me and will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and who? We will come unto him. We will come unto that person and make our abode. We will live inside of them. Oh, my gosh. Hey, hear what I'm. We have God in Christ inside of us. And I'm talking about what I can't do. He said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We got God. And I can't love my wife. I can't love my kids. I can't love my congregation. I can't love the people who are unlovable on my job. I can't. But I got God. It said we. He didn't say me or God. He said, we're coming inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit. Oh, my gosh. I got so excited about this. I mean, okay, I was excited. I'm trying to get y'all excited about it. Maybe before we finish, you will be too. But here, you're going to go on your job tomorrow. And when you walk in, you know you got God and Jesus inside of you. It's not a pride thing. It's like, man, what? How can I be stopped? And I'm listening. Who do I speak to today? Who needs some love today? Who needs a hug today? I'm talking to God. Show me. Show me. This is what I'm here. I'm on assignment. He said he's giving you the opportunity to be an overseer for his church. Is somebody in there that's lost who needs to be a part of the church? And here I am. He's sending me out. And that's why I got the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, lead me. Give me wisdom. Let me look out and just see it. While I'm doing my job and everything, but I know who I really work for. That's why you can't say I'm tired of my job. I hate the people. That's because, yeah, I do. But when you have the Holy Spirit, it's God and Jesus saying, that's the one right there. They're sitting all by themselves in the lunchroom. Just go sit down and just ask them how they're doing. Now, we talked about it last night, and you say happy Thanksgiving. And what's there to be thankful for? You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, liberated me, filled me with the Holy Spirit. Now I know how to love and forgive and give. Oh, they didn't expect all that, but you give it to them. Amen? They're not going to expect all that. But that's okay. We're on assignment, and be just as loving about it as you can. I'm so excited. All right, come on, Pastor. Slow down. All right. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Jesus is trying to tell him everything, so while he's there, right? Then he tells him, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, all right? We know that to be the Paraclete. We know that to be the Comforter. We know that to be the Spirit of God. It's the Helper. It's the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things. Underline teach. And he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. So the Holy Ghost is teaching us. It's reminding us of what God said about us, because the world is trying to tell us we need to look like this or have that or be that. We're going to see all the ads for Christmas. Until you get this, you're nothing. Then verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. Underline that. See, that's why we don't have to walk around living like scary, defeated disciples. The Holy Spirit is, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give it. Don't get caught up in this orderly system of deception. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Stop being worried and stop being so scary. Jesus saying, we got the Holy Spirit now. I love that. Verse 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. See, they didn't get it, right? They didn't want it. Man, I'm telling you, if Jesus was here, right? Who wants to be separated from Jesus, right? Yeah. But he said, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. How are you going to do that? If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Verse 29, and now have I told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, you can trust me. After I get crucified, you can trust me, because I told you I'm going to resurrect on the third day. So all this is filled with the Trinity, talking about God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. All right, Pastor, what else you got? Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's talk about how we've been bought. Been bought with the price. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. This is where it gets a little dicey. Because the church has been purchased with the blood of Christ. And it's what we don't know that causes us to live an ineffective and powerless life. It's what we don't know. Look at Paul, verse 16. Don't you know? See, we don't. Don't you know that you are the temple of God, that God lives in us? When we walk out of this building today, it's just a building. The Spirit of God lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God lives in you. He's talking to the Corinthians because they're doing any and everything they wanted to do. Anything their filthy flesh told them to do, they did it. He said, don't you know that your bodies belong to God? And that God's Spirit dwells in you? If any man defile or destroys the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is separate, is holy. And then he asks the question, which temple are you? Yeah. We live ineffective and powerless lives because we don't know who we are. We're afraid to trust God. He said he gives us peace, not as the world give it, but we're looking for the peace from the world, not as God giveth. We talk about the levels of maturity of Christian maturity. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19. The word purchase means to acquire for oneself, to buy. God has bought us. He's bought us. It's a high price. It's a valuable price. Price is honor, value, esteemed of the highest degree. It's precious. It's a value. We've been bought with the price. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Here we are, verse 19. I say 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Paul has got his hands on his head, throwing it up in the air, going, what? Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? He's telling them again, which you have of God, you're not your own. Underline that. See, that's where the spiritual warfare comes in, and Satan, because Satan's telling you, yeah, you do what you want to do. Don't let the people, you don't let those church folks tell you what to do, how to live your life. You do what you want to do. Do you? So when we get into trouble listening to the world, Paul is saying, no. Family, I'm just saying, we got to be surrendered. We got to be sold out. If you want to see the hand of God move in your life, you got to be surrendered and sold out. And if you're not there, that's where you're striving to be. It's a place called there that you can get to. But you got to know it's there. Otherwise, what it said, if you aim for nothing, you hit it every time. Let me say that again. If you aim for nothing, you're going to hit it every time. But when you know it's a level of maturity that you can get into the Holy Spirit where you're walking and talking with God, if you don't know that's there, you never get there. But it's there, then that's what you're striving for every day. Even when we blow it, I'm getting back up and I'm going and I'm striving to that place called there where I'm walking and talking with the Holy Spirit because I know I've been bought with a price and God owns me and I don't own myself and I got to surrender and submit. Otherwise, I never get there. That's why it's so important, family. We have our morning prayer time. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. I told you, put on that 5-minute worship song and just get on your knees and just pray. Read a scripture. Pray. Start there, but you got to start. And now I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, lead, guide me today. Show me stuff. As we were talking about in Proverbs 22, I think it's verse 2 or something, where it says, the wise person sees the evil coming. And turns away, but the stupid keep going and get caught up. I'm praying like, Lord, I'm reading out on the 20th saying, God, don't let me be that stupid dude that keeps going. Give me, Holy Spirit, teach me today. Let me see the tricks, the schemes of the enemy coming so I don't get caught up. Amen. I mean, that's what I'm praying about that morning, asking the Holy Spirit to guide me. I mean, it's as real as it can get. It's not a ritual. It's not like, okay, pastor said I got to pray, so I got to pray for 5 minutes. I got to pray. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, Lord, I need some direction because this my life will fall apart, okay? And I'll do something stupid, get caught up, and then regret it for the rest of my life. So, Lord, will you please guide me today? I need you. I don't need a tradition or religion. God, I need you. That's the God I'm talking about. This is what Paul is talking about. Verse 19 said, don't you know your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Remember, Jesus said, we're going to come and live inside of you. We walk around with Christ and God inside of us. Paul is saying, don't you know that? You was bought. Which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Verse 20, for you are bought with the price. I told you that price is a high value. It cost Christ something so that we could live. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, let's go to Acts 1 and 8. Family, when we leave here today, I hope you understand that you have a supernatural power. Christ God living inside of you will want, that's walking with you, talking with you. You have to tap into it. You do not have to live a defeated lifestyle. You don't have to be a defeated disciple. You don't have to be worried and scared and fearful about what's going to happen. You have God inside of you. Pray for the wisdom of God, the guidance of God. Verse 7, did I say Acts 1 and 7 or I say 1 and 8? Let's start at 7. Jesus has told them he's going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit. And then he tells them in verse 7, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Okay, underlying power in 7, because that's authority. All right? That means authority. Because verse 8 he says, but you shall receive power. That's a different word. That word power means strength and ability. So God has the authority to give you strength and ability. Let me say it again. God has the authority to give you and I strength and ability. How? All right, here we go. Verse 8. But you shall receive power after or when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So we have strength and ability when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. When we ask Christ into our heart, he comes in, he dwells with us, and we have strength and ability. And you should be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to go everywhere and preach the gospel is what he's telling the disciples. We stand in the church today because the disciples went out and some kind of way, somebody heard, and we got a church that we're standing in today preaching the word because of this right here. Because the Holy Spirit of God empowered them. Because of God's authority, we receive power. Okay, let me see if I can wrap this up. Let's go to Ephesians 1:13. And I'm saying, God, help us to teach our youth, our men, our women, our singles, our couples, that we must rely totally on the Holy Spirit of God and realize that the world doesn't own us. Because we've been bought with the highest price that someone could pay. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we got to teach our youth. We got to teach our men. We got to teach our women. We got to teach our young adults. We got to teach our couples, our singles, that the Holy Spirit is the game changer. It's the game changer. It's not something mystical, magical. It's the third person of the Godhead. It is a person that you can grieve, that you can lie to. And the scriptures are clear with that. It's the third person of the Godhead. So then look at Ephesians. It talks about us being sealed in verse 1 and 13. I say 1 and 13?
Yes.
Okay, so it says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Anybody heard the gospel of salvation and you trusted God? Somebody say amen if that's you. All right, so I'm in the right place, right?
Yes.
And just think about the moment you got saved when someone introduced you to Christ and you said, okay, Lord, I need you in my life, and you trusted God because you heard the word of truth. It didn't necessarily have to be in the church. Anybody else got saved somewhere else other than the church? You were somewhere else. You were not in church when you got saved. Let me see your hand. Okay. Let me see your hand if you were in church when you heard the gospel and got saved. Okay. Let me see if you heard, if you were in a club last night and heard the gospel and came to church. Oh, gosh, Pastor. How did you know?
No.
That wasn't the case. Amen?
No.
Hey, it happens. Trust me, it does. In whom you also trusted, verse 13. After that, you heard the word of truth. You heard the word of truth and you say, I got to trust God. The gospel, your salvation, it saved us. It rescued us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. In whom also, after that, you believe. You say, okay, man, this is it. And then look at that. It says, then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Then you were sealed. We accepted Christ. God gave us his Holy Spirit. Remember, it's like a mark. It's like a tattoo. It's like an authentication code. Now, hear what I said at the beginning. The Holy Spirit is the part of the inheritance that we get to benefit from now. We got our seal now. We got our authentication code. We get to benefit from it now. We get to talk with God. We get to walk with God. We get to hear from God. We get to benefit from it now. We're sealed. If you trusted God, then you got the Holy Spirit, and it sealed you, and it marked you. You got your authentication code, but look, you're going to need it. Why? Look at verse 14. It's a promise that you got, underlying promise. Because we know that God cannot do some things. He cannot lie. He cannot fail, and he cannot break his promise. Okay? He cannot lie. He cannot fail. He cannot break his promise. He said, you got the Holy Spirit, and I promise you that. You got your authentication code. Nobody can take it away. As we study more in John, he's going to talk about the sheep hear his voice and they will not listen to another. So we got the authentication code. We got God. We got the Holy Spirit. We can hear his voice. We don't have to listen to another. And that's a promise. It's a promise. And God doesn't break his promises. And then, but here's the best part right here. He said, we got the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment of our inheritance. See, that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. You got the down payment. You got part of the inheritance right now. Amen. But we don't even believe it. We don't even go to that bank account. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. No, I bet I don't want to bother him today. But go bother him. You got part of it. Yes. Begging, pray, God, give me wisdom. Lead, guide me. Oh my gosh. Oh, you mean I got, which is the down payment of our inheritance. Man, we got part of the inheritance. Holy layaway, amen. And take advantage of it. It's promised. We got it. We have our authentication code. And we got it until the redemption of the purchased possession. You know who the purchased possession is? When you look at that purchased possession, it's the church. So let me make it plain as I can. So we got the deposit on our inheritance. Until God cashes in his church unto his praise and glory. Yes. Family, we got to walk out here with our heads held high, reach up to the sky, right, and give him praise. Somebody say amen. We got part of the inheritance. You should smile about that. Now, of course, we got it. You know, we got to do our best to be obedient and live right so we can benefit from that inheritance on a daily basis. We already got it. Only thing that would distract us is sin. And then we'll live like defeated begging disciples. All I'm saying is God's come to give us life and that more abundantly. And I don't know if any of you ever had an inheritance where you inherited something and maybe it comes with strings attached. Maybe what's that thing? It's called a trust that when you turn 18, you get it or whatever. But God said, you got it right now. Amen. Start using it now. It's your deposit. It is a guaranteed deposit of your inheritance. It's the Holy Spirit. I promise you that. Until I cash in that purchased possession. And that's the same word that's in 28. If you do the cross reference of purchased possession, it takes you to, guess where it takes you? It takes you to Acts 20, 28. The church of God. The purchased possession is the church of God until the praise of his glory. So we walk around filled with the Holy Spirit, promised by God. We got part of the inheritance. God's going to cash in the rest of it, which is his church, when we transition, or if he comes back for us before then. So let me read this, and then we're going to walk out of here with our hands held high and reach up to the sky and give him praise. Because you are Lord, you are King, you're the master of everything. God, help us to teach our youth, our men, our women, our singles, our couples. We must rely totally on the Holy Spirit of God and realize that the world doesn't own us because we've been bought with the highest price that someone could pay, the life of Jesus Christ. Family, we have to pause life and reprioritize and reevaluate our relationship with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Family, I don't know what you're going to do today, but some point today, pause life and reprioritize. Where am I at with God, with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? Do I really believe what I read in this word? Pause life, family. Sit back and think about it. And then think about who owns you. Who do you allow to own you? And who's really paid the price to own you if you are a child of God? Have we been purchased with the blood of Christ, or have we sold out and been bribed by the world? That's why our commitment to Christ is so important. We have to rely on the wisdom, discernment from the Holy Spirit to follow the voice and instruction of Christ. We must reprioritize our prayer life, our study life, our morning fasting, our reading of the Proverbs. Either Christ or the Holy Spirit is real or he's not. But we must make a commitment and decision and live accordingly. If you are not led by the wisdom of God or the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to discern between the holy servants of God and the savage wolves. Let me say it again, because we're going to pick it up next week at verse 29. Let me say it. If you are not led by the wisdom of God or the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to discern between the holy servants of God and the savage wolves. And that's where we're going to stop today. Let us go ahead and just bow our head and just, I don't know, family, I'm just trying to make it plain. I just hate to see, I hate to see us struggle in the spirit when we don't have to. And this is not a prosperity message. I'm talking about the peace and the joy and the love that comes in the Holy Ghost. That we walk out of here, regardless of what my bank account says or doesn't say, I'm good. I'm content because I know God's going to work it out. You would never know how, by the way I treat you, if I have a million or if I have a penny in my account. You'll never know how I treat you, how I love, how I give to you. You'll never be able to tell based on what I supposedly have to make me successful. Because the game changer is the Holy Spirit. It's not stuff. The world has lied to us and tried to make us think it's about getting stuff. God said, you already got your inheritance. Use it. Allow it to teach you. Teach you how to give, how to love, how to speak to people, how to love your wife, how to love your parents, how to love your kids. How to pray for your coworkers who you hate. How to lead those that God has put in your life. You have a business. You have a ministry. How do you lead them without the Holy Spirit of God? Are you leading them according to the wisdom of the world? Are you serious? How do you communicate with your teachers? So, Lord, we just thank you and we bless you. We love you. So, Lord, we just ask for forgiveness of sins. And we all pause life right now and rededicate our life to the listening and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. God, you said it teaches us all things. You said that we are going to come and live inside of you. God and Jesus comes inside of us, which makes the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, possible. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of Christ, the person of God inside of us. And you said, not only am I living there, but that's your part of your inheritance that you get to benefit from now. You get to walk and talk with God, the creator of it all, the master of everything. And I promise you that you have that inside of you. God, forgive us for taking the power of the Holy Spirit for granted. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes so we can see clearly. As we pause life, Lord, let us reprioritize and just walk and think and talk with you each and every day, all day. Give us revelation knowledge that leads to a transformed life. God, you said you came to give us life and that more abundantly. You came and give us a complete life. Judas asked the question, how can you be in everybody? How are you going to do that? How can you be in everybody? Jesus said, if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come. And when he comes, God has the authority to give us strength and ability through him. So, Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. Let us be mindful every day this week, Lord. When we're with our family at Thanksgiving, God, let us pray and operate according to the Holy Spirit. Give us discernment. We're not arguing about anything, but we're being the light, the love, and the salt, sharing the love of Christ. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. Show us how to love. Maybe the family members aren't so lovable. Give us wisdom. You've given us the strength and the ability. God, let us make this real each and every day. We ask for your strength. We ask for your guidance. So I just thank you, and I pray a blessing upon your people, Lord, that they understand and they know that they are the temple of God. Holy Spirit dwells in them. They have part of that inheritance. It's a promise. Bless your people, Lord. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.